Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Badger State, a Wisconsin history podcast, where we will take a look at people, places, and events throughout Wisconsin history. As always, I'm your host, Peter Lanning, and this is Season 2, Episode 5, Pre-Columbian Wisconsin, Part 1. For this episode, I thought I could bring in my brother Joseph, and we could go into a history of Wisconsin before the arrival of Europeans to the Americas. As a little side note, this episode is going to be split into two parts, mostly because of midterms, a big senior capstone on the Boy Scouts, and an upcoming graduation in May, but also because the history of Wisconsin before 1492 goes back too far to cover in one episode, so please bear with me as best you can. Also, as this is our first two-part episode, it's going to be a little shorter than our Season 2 average of about 30 to 40 minutes, so please take that as it is. Anyway, as I said, there is a lot going on before 1492, and we are going to start with the Ice Age. So let's jump right into it. Wisconsin before 1492 is a land of wonder and amazement, of milk and honey, of... wait, no, not those things. But Wisconsin before 11,000 years ago was covered in a massive ice sheet that was about 2 miles thick.
That's crazy.
That is more than crazy. So we all know Denver, Colorado is like the mile-high city, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So imagine Denver, but twice as high.
Imagine the loss of air.
You know, you wouldn't be able to breathe if you were on top of the glacier, would you?
No.
No. So this all occurred at the end of what is known as the Wisconsin Glacial Period, or the Wisconsin Glacial Episode. The beginning of this period, or this Ice Age, began around 150,000 years ago, and was the most recent glacial period of what is known as the North American Ice Sheet Complex. Now, I'm not exactly sure what that means. I'm not a scientist, per se. I mean, I think all humans are scientists, but I'm not trained in this. But anyway, In the Americas, we call this period the Late Wisconsin Period. So there is, like, a lot going on here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But before we can jump into the good stuff, I think we should start with some basic definitions.
Okay.
So if you already know the dictionary definitions of these terms, you can just tune out for a couple seconds, and that's okay. But if you'd like a bit of a refresher, just keep on listening. So we're going to start off with what an ice age is. So according to the Oxford English Dictionary, an ice age is a glacial period or a glacial episode during the last geological period. Now that sounds a bit confusing. So the other definition that they provide is the series of glacial episodes during the Pleistocene period, which lasted from about 2.5 million years ago to roughly 11,700 years ago, and was the previous geological age, which is called the geological epoch, which I would equate with being like a generation of the Earth to the one we are now. So it was the one before the one we are in now, which is called the Holocene or the Anthropocene period.
Mm.
But we're going to save that discussion for somebody who actually knows what they're talking about. And I've heard there's like great debate on what we should actually be calling it. But that's okay. Next up is, what is a glacier anyway?
Glacier? I mean, yeah. It's like a giant block of ice,
it is a giant block of ice. So, again, from the Oxford English Dictionary, a glacier is a slowly moving mass or river of ice formed by the accumulation and compaction of snow on mountains or near the poles. So this is going to be up in the Arctic, of course, but we know that.
Mm-hmm.
There have been, there's been many glacial periods. I think there's been, from the research I've done, there's been up to like 15 different glacial periods in the Earth's entire history. So
that couple, we know about.
Yes, there's so much that we still don't know about the planet. I think that's fascinating.
I agree.
Yeah. So, as I was saying, the glaciers during the Wisconsin period began to form about 150,000 1,000 years ago, and they dramatically altered the landscape of what we call Wisconsin. Right?
Yeah.
So there were six different lobes that extended into the state, and although glaciers covered all of North America, well, not all of North America, but a pretty big chunk of it, they didn't just cover Wisconsin, they went down as far south as the confluence of the Ohio and Mississippi rivers. So that's pretty far south.
Oh yeah, very.
Yes. So there were, I believe, six different lobes in Wisconsin. And so they're called Superior, which was in the northwest. Obviously, it's by Lake Superior.
Yes.
Chippewa Valley, Wisconsin Valley, Green Bay, and Lake Michigan. So they advanced from the Arctic, and these huge glaciers shoved everything in their path farther and farther south. For Wisconsin, this would be pretty dramatic. As they advanced south from Canada, they pushed fertile soil southward. Again, obviously, I think that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
And I think we can thank Canada for that. So our state soil is what is known as Antigo silt loam.
What's that?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what it's all made of. It's super fertile soil. And I was just looking at a map, and I want to provide it for everyone. If you look at its just distribution in northern Wisconsin, it appears to be just south of where those northern four lobes of the glacier were. So the Superior Lobe, Chippewa Valley, Wisconsin Valley.
Yeah.
Three or four lobes. There were a couple. Okay. So it's spread out there. It's spread into Minnesota as well. There, it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also pushed a lot of rocks. We know this.
Yes.
You know, we've talked with Mom, so we know that, like...
especially in farm fields, too.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting to. So kids even, would go around before they could plow fields, like when settlers first arrived from Europe to Wisconsin. The first Europeans wouldn't come to Wisconsin until 1634. But, like, by the 19th century...
Yeah.
People were coming from all over Europe. They had to farm to make a living if they didn't live in, like, the big cities. So their children and whoever else wanted to help had to go out into the fields and pick rocks. And I don't just mean, like, little pebbles.
These were...
I mean...
boulders.
Big, huge rocks. Yeah, boulders.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes. So, yeah, they were used to build local houses and churches... And they were sent from all over the state. Yeah. So, I think you know this. One of our ancestors' houses, my namesake, actually, Peter Roofing.
Yes.
His house is built out of these rocks. And from what I remember, the walls of that house were like 3 feet thick.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of rock.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah, and I think, because he lives near Allenton, Wisconsin. If you're familiar with Wisconsin, that's kind of in the southeast. I think it's in Ozaukee County or Washington County. Yeah. If you're from Allenton, I'm sorry.
It's along, what is that, 49 down?
No, it's not 40. It's I-41.
41, my bad.
Yeah,
it's Interstate 41 south.
Yeah, so it's either in Washington or Ozaukee County. I think it's Ozaukee County because it's pretty close to where Grandma and Grandpa live.
Yeah.
But anyway, these houses and churches, they're still standing.
Yeah.
And all this rock came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, anyway, that's enough of a side rant, I think, right?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's okay. Yeah, yeah. I mean, other than pushing rocks and soil south, the ice was so damn heavy, being, you know, 2 miles thick and all.
Yeah.
That it gouged out these huge lakes. And some of these lakes, you might even call them great. Hint, hint. You're shaking your head.
No, Peter.
Yes,
no.
If you didn't get the hint, I am talking, of course, about the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm.
So, Superior, up into north there. Michigan, Huron, Ontario, and Lake Erie. Mm-hmm. Those are the remnants of the glacial lakes that covered a pretty big portion of North America.
Yeah. But what about, like, bogs?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then the Kettle Moraine as well.
So the cool thing is that the Kettle Moraine was formed as the glaciers were melting, and these huge chunks of ice would start sinking down. So you have these hills, which are called moraines, and where the ice started sinking into the ground, they formed kettles. And what do kettles do? They hold water. So that's why they're called kettles. I'm not sure where moraine comes from exactly, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's a map. I was just looking at one not too long before recording here, and it showed where the different lobes of the glacier came through. And I talked to you about this. I had you look at it, too.
Yeah.
If you're from kind of the southeast area of Wisconsin, or even if you live up, like up in Door County, you're familiar with what is known as the Niagara Escarpment.
Yes.
Which we call the ledge.
Yeah.
Upon looking at the map of the glacial lobes, the border between the Green Bay lobe and the Lake Michigan lobe seems to be right on where the ledge is. And I'm going to put that map up for everybody to see probably as soon as we're done recording. So if you really don't know about the ledge, I don't think glaciers formed it per se.
I think it might have been with the... Since they were scooping out in the Kettle Moraine area,
yeah.
I think what it might have to do is it picked up the stuff, put it inside the glacier through melting and freezing process, and then as the glaciers melted, it all was in one spot.
Yeah.
I think that would be a reasonable theory.
Yeah, I think that's a good theory. And I know there's lots of stuff out there on how it actually formed. I just think it's interesting that it's right there between the two. So that my theory would be is that the rocks were there because glaciers are pushing rocks, right?
Yeah.
So it would be in between the two giant lobes of this glacier, and that made this giant cliff. And of course, what's on the other side of the ledge is the Kettle Moraine.
Yeah.
So the Kettle Moraine would have been formed by the Lake Michigan lobe of the glacier. And kind of our area around the Horicon Marsh, that would have been carved out by the Green Bay lobe.
Okay.
Yeah, that's either side. Of course, there's some like overlapping area. But anyway, the Niagara Escarpment, the ledge, extends for 650 miles or so.
Yeah.
And it starts here in Wisconsin, or some might even say it starts in Illinois. If you're from Illinois, I'll let you have it. All right. So it goes north along, it's not too far from Lake Michigan.
It's kind of closer to, if you're familiar with it, that's Lake Winnebago.
Yeah.
It's closer to Lake Winnebago, but it's still over by Lake Michigan.
Yeah, so it's in the eastern part of the state, and it goes north in the eastern part of the state through Door County, which is our peninsula on one side of Green Bay. Is it George Washington Island? Up by Green Bay?
I'm not sure.
I think it is. I'm almost positive it is. And then it goes, keeps going up from Door County there along the UP, Michigan's Upper Peninsula. I think it reaches its peak at around Sault Ste. Marie in Canada. And then it starts making its way back south through southern Ontario, and it crosses the Niagara River into New York. And what do you think is at the end of this?
The Niagara Falls, if I had to make a guess.
Yes, of course. It is the Niagara Falls. Now, there's also people... Well, there is lots of proof that is not the actual end of the escarpment.
Yeah.
It is just one of the drop-off points. But that is kind of Wisconsin's connection to Niagara Falls. Quite literally a connection.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's really kind of cool. Now, I know this whole side rant got started because we were talking about the glacial lakes.
Yes.
Right. So I know you know about this. We had a pretty big glacial lake here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Which was called Glacial Lake, Wisconsin.
What an ironic name.
What an ironic name. Yeah, I know, right? We have the Wisconsin Glacial Period and we have Glacial Lake, Wisconsin. Wisconsinites feel very special.
Oh, yes, I certainly do.
I know I do. Yeah, okay, so Glacial Lake, Wisconsin was formed at the latest, from our standpoint, about 18,000 years ago, when the Green Bay lobe of the glacier, the Laurentide, I think I'm pronouncing that right, the Laurentide ice sheet butted itself up against the Baraboo Hills. So that's just south of my hometown of Waupun, southwest a little bit. Yeah. And it closed off an outlet for the Wisconsin River, which did exist at the time. A big concept. There's another Wisconsin thing, the Wisconsin River. Yeah. So the glacier closed off the outlet for the Wisconsin River, and because of this, the water began to fill up this basin that it was closed off from because it couldn't get out to form this giant lake, and it got as deep as 160 feet.
160.
Yeah, that's not as deep as Green Lake, I don't think. Is it?
No, I'm not sure. I think Green Lake's like, well, 300, but that's still pretty deep.
That's still pretty deep. And it is had eight times the surface area of Lake Winnebago.
Wow.
And it's a lot deeper. Lake Winnebago is what, 20, 30 feet at the deepest?
I think closer to like 25, but yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And in this lake and in other glacial lakes around Wisconsin, little creatures called trilobites.
What are those?
They're I'm not exactly sure what they are. So why don't you look that up quick while we're doing that? I know what they are. I just don't know how to describe them. So T-R-I-L-O-B-I-T-E.
Okay.
That's it.
All right,
so read off that description for us. I know exactly what they look like. I just have not studied prehistoric creatures enough.
Trilobites are a group of extinct marine arachnomorph arthropods that form the class Trilobita. That's what Wikipedia gave me right away.
I think they're so cool. They're not very big.
No.
Right, but I bring them up because they are the state fossil of Wisconsin, the official state fossil. So now I've mentioned a state soil and the state fossil, and so I'm going to do a bit of a shameless plug here, and I apologize if you've listened to it already. I do have a state symbols episode out that I recorded sometime last year.
Yeah.
If you've listened to that one already, coolio. If you haven't, go check it out. Let me know what you think. It doesn't have all the state symbols, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
All right. So, back to the glacial lake, Wisconsin. As the glacier began to melt, this would have been about 14,000 years ago.
Yeah.
The water rushed back into the Wisconsin River. Well, it would have still been the Wisconsin River, but it would have kind of started rushing out, like, in a torrent, kind of like a dam breaking.
Like a flash flood, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a really bad flash flood.
Yeah.
And the force of this water was such that it carved out the dells of the Wisconsin River near, you guessed it, the Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
Which, if you don't know, is a very popular tourist spot in the state. It is the water park capital of the world.
What they say.
And it is an outdoorsman's paradise.
Yeah.
I think that goes without saying. They have the fishing, hunting. Yeah. They have the army duck tour. It's just so scenic there.
Much to do, so much to see, so much to learn about. Yeah.
What's the big deal with taking the back streets?
I don't know.
You made a song reference. I don't think you realized it.
I have no idea.
Smash Mouth, guys.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, with the Wisconsin Dells, and this is a place that the glaciers didn't even touch. And so you can see that the glaciers, as much as they kind of flattened out the area in the north and the southeastern part of the state, they had a big influence on the southwestern part of the state where they did not even touch.
Yeah.
Which I think is fascinating. So this area, the southwest part of Wisconsin, is called the Driftless Area. So as I said, the glaciers did not make it to southwestern Wisconsin, and also southeastern Minnesota, northeastern Iowa, and the extreme northwest corner of Illinois.
Yeah.
So this is the Driftless Area. The glaciers did not come here And so the driftless area in Wisconsin and Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois is kind of characterized by steep cliffs and more dense forest.
Yeah.
And what else was it? And deeply carved river valleys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Though not as deep as the canyons we see in the southern U.S. And I think the only reason for that is because the glaciers didn't... Well, the only reason that the canyons in the southern U.S. are so deep is because the glaciers did not travel that far.
That makes sense.
Like, you can think about how deep the Grand Canyon is because we've been there.
Uh-huh.
It's... Yeah, that's
so
just...
So no glaciers have touched that at all. It's just been straight running water?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
That's exactly... Well, that's how canyons get carved.
Yeah.
But you knew that. You're smart. All right. And then, as I was doing a bit more research, the flora and the fauna, the plants and animals, of the driftless area are more similar to those that live in New England than the flattened plains.
Yeah.
Which were flattened because of rather obvious reasons. All right. So, I think the next thing we should talk about is what kinds of animals were here. And I think we need to make a point. I don't know if you've ever seen the Ice Age movies.
Oh, yes, I have.
You have. Well, let me prepare you for a shock here.
Yeah.
They are not accurate.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Some, at least with, like, the woolly mammoths and anything, and sabers and tigers, those were more farther north than what I've heard.
Well, yeah, they would have been here. Actually, we mentioned the Horicon Marsh earlier.
Yeah.
If you go to the state side, which is the southern third of the marsh, at their headquarters, they have, like, this giant sculpture of a woolly mammoth.
They were here?
Yeah.
Oh, really? I did not know that.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
But I think I mentioned the Ice Age movies because in one of them, I think they show kind of these like giant mammals and dinosaurs existing at the same time.
Yeah.
And no. No.
No, I know.
It's also like those really old movies, I think from like the 30s, showing like cavemen fighting off dinosaurs too. That also didn't happen.
No, yeah.
No. I know, that may be a shock to some of you, that human beings, Homo sapiens, never fought dinosaurs, but that's just how it, that's not how it worked. The dinosaurs came before the mammals. Dinosaurs would have died out about 65 million years ago.
Or approximately.
Approximately, that's not an exact date. But okay, so we had mammoths here. There would have been caribou.
Saber-toothed tigers? How about them?
Yes. Though I'm not sure as much here in Wisconsin as in other places. Okay. So the Smilodon, which is the saber-toothed tiger, is the state fossil of California.
Uh-huh.
And so I think they may have lived more there than here.
Okay.
Which makes sense. And there would have been like bison in the plains.
Of course,
though different from the bison that we know today. Yeah. But if you look at a modern bison and how thick their coats are, their fur coats are.
Oh yeah,
it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, it would have made perfect sense for people to use them for their teepees or whatever they would build. I can't name anything else.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Neolithic peoples would have used for housing. We'll cover that in part two of this episode on like Mississippian culture, and that'll be coming out on April 3rd.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that more then.
Okay, so, but like, it would make sense because those would be their heavy winter coats for pants, for shirts or torso covers, I guess.
Yeah.
And then for feet as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's good protection.
Yeah, I mean the use of buffalo robes is actually part of the reason why Madison is the state capital.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, so James Doty, who would become governor of Wisconsin, kind of bribed legislators who were there to vote.
Yeah.
It was super cold when they had this vote.
Yeah.
Right? It was like November and it was cold.
Yeah.
So he's like, here, have this robe. And when he was doing that, he would start talking about, here's this parcel of land that I own that wasn't even developed at all.
Yeah.
Madison was not, there was nothing in Madison when it was chosen as a state capital.
Yeah.
But I think I'm getting on a bit of a side rant here.
It's okay.
I've talked about that a little bit too. And I think that'll be kind of an upcoming episode too. We have our statehood anniversary coming up on May 29th. So around then, look for an episode on Wisconsin statehood and how Madison became the state capital.
Yeah.
All right. So the last little thing I think I want to mention here is the Ice Age National Trail.
Mm-hmm.
You've heard of that.
Yes, I have.
And that is a super... I've been on parts of it, not all of it. It's about 1,000 miles long-ish.
Okay, yeah.
Which, it covers most of Wisconsin, but it goes around the Driftless area in the southwestern part of the state. Yeah. And one of the biggest features that people go on the trail to see is the Kettle Moraine in eastern Wisconsin,
mm-hmm.
southeastern Wisconsin. I just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
The scene, the scenic views of this, or this entire state. I have no words to describe how beautiful this state is.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so I think what we've determined here, and I think you'll agree with me, is that Wisconsin has been truly formed by the glaciers.
Yes, it has.
Having them come down from the Arctic, flattening out the plains, and kind of, I want to say, giving rise to what has become billions of years of history in the making.
Yes.
Yes.
I can completely agree with you.
Yeah. All right. So now I want to thank you for agreeing to speak on this episode. This has been fun. And I know you like history too.
I do. Even though it's not my best class in school.
Oh, well. We can fix that.
Yes.
It's my goal to have all of my brothers do really well in their history.
Yes.
So, all right, thank you again. This has been amazing. And maybe we can have you back for part two of our pre-Columbian Wisconsin series.
Maybe.
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 All right.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, Peter. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the addendum section of Season 2, Episode 5, Pre-Columbian Wisconsin, Part 1. So after initial recording with my brother last night, I realized that I made a couple of factual errors after getting kind of caught up in the conversation, so I'd like to sincerely apologize for those, and I'd like to take these next couple of minutes to correct any errors that I made. As far as I know, I only made 3 of them, and if you hear any more, please let me know. So the first error that I'm aware of occurred when my brother and I were discussing the city of Allenton, Wisconsin, where an ancestor of ours built a house for him and his family in the 19th century. We got into a bit of a discussion as to whether or not Allenton is in Washington or Ozaukee counties, and I'm pretty sure we came to the conclusion that it is in Ozaukee County, and after we were done recording, I looked it up. And Allenton is in Washington County. So if you are from Allenton and you're listening to this and you hear that error, please forgive me. I realize I made a mistake. And I now realize that it is, in fact, in Washington County. The second error occurred when talking about the different lobes of the Wisconsin Glacier. I did say that there were 6, which is true. But I realized that I only mentioned 5 of them by name. So I mentioned the Superior Lobe, the Chippewa Lobe, the Wisconsin Valley Lobe, and then the Green Bay and Lake Michigan Lobes. And I completely forgot the Langlade Lobe, which is in the far northeastern part of Wisconsin. So just take that. There are 6, and I know I mentioned 5. So they are the Superior, Chippewa, Wisconsin Valley, Langlade, Green Bay, and Lake Michigan lobes. Again, I apologize for making that error. And the final big error that I am aware of, we talked a little bit about trilobites as being the state fossil of Wisconsin. And I think I said that they lived in Glacial Lake, Wisconsin, which existed from 18,000 to 14,000 years ago. And that is entirely incorrect. Because we did look it up. And trilobites have been extinct for 250 million years or so. So to say that they lived in the Glacial Lake, Wisconsin, which only existed up to 20,000 years ago, is entirely incorrect. So again, I apologize for all of these errors, and I hope you guys can forgive me for them. I want to keep this podcast as factually correct as possible, and if you hear any more mistakes, please, please let me know. Thanks, guys.
So that is part one of our pre-Columbian Wisconsin series. I hope you all have enjoyed learning a bit more about Wisconsin and the impact of the Ice Age. And as a special little thing here, I want to give a special shout out to my brother for co-hosting, and to the wonderful Time Travel Talks community on Twitter for always inspiring new ideas. And before you go, I want to thank you all for taking a quick listen to this episode. Also, I want to remind you that you can find more episodes of Badger State of Wisconsin History Podcast on all of your favorite listening platforms. And if you'd like to follow along on this journey of exploring Wisconsin history, you can find us on Facebook at Badger State of Wisconsin History Podcast and on Twitter and Instagram at WisHist Podcast. That is Wis, W-I-S, Hist, H-I-S-T, Podcast. I truly look forward to having you all along for the ride. Thank you all again, and until next time, this is Peter Lanning with Badger State, over and out.